18, that's where we'll be tonight. I'll try and bite off a few more scripture areas. Be in prayer for our study on tongues as well. We'll be starting that probably about the 21st or either the 7th of February. How many still have your book on tongues? Most folks got a book. I think everybody. Who did not get a tongues book? Only a couple. The Warrens didn't get one. Roma didn't get one. Okay. And we're probably going to be starting that towards the 7th of February or the 21st, one of the two, and get back in that. I checked my record. I don't think we've talked about that since September of 2014, so it's been a while. Go ahead and take your Bibles. If you have them, stand with me. We're going to turn them over to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. And they're going to pick up where we left off at last week. The book of the Acts of the Apostles. Now, I was going to read this to you today about presenting the gospel. I will not run him off, but I'm going to hold off till next week. I'll read it next week. I know I said that last week, but I gave you a snippet of it, but I'm going to hold that till next week. And just talking about giving the gospel and not being afraid is going to run somebody off. That'll be a blessing. Acts chapter number 18. I'm going to read verses 20 through 23. So 20 through 23. And hopefully cover those verses. If we don't get a chance to cover those tonight, amen. How many actually have a Bible map in the back of your Bible? Okay, good, good. I tried to get one up on the monitor so we could actually look at one together, but hopefully we can look at some things here and just kind of follow where Paul is at tonight. All right, Acts chapter 18. Let's read verses 20, 21, 22, and 23 all together. Here we go. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Father, bless now in these next moments that we have together your word. Lord, may we glean a blessing from it, Lord, and be encouraged by it. Looking at this great missionary, Paul the Apostle, Lord, and help us to pick out some things that can apply to us, Lord, that we can utilize for the glory of God and for the witnessing of souls and the evangelizing of men, women, boys, and girls. Thank you so much for loving us. Lord, bless down the children's program as well. And I will thank you for being good to us tonight. Spirit of God, lead now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, let's quote our theme for the year here, preach for each and each. Here we go. Preach to all you can, reach all you can, each do all you can, Mark 16:15. All right. And we're going to quote that as well. So hold your finger there if you need to go over to Mark, which you probably should not have to go over to Mark. Amen. Here we go. Mark 16:15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. Amen. All right. I just want to keep you brushed up on that. Well, picking up where we left off at last week, we talked about tarrying and teaching. Paul here, after coming down from Gallio, he's up in Corinth still. We found him up there in verses 18 and 19, tarrying and teaching. Notice what it says there in verse 18. Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and that's after the beating that some of the other Jews went through. Then we saw something else there towards the end of that verse. It says, then he took leave of the brethren and sailed thence into Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. And we saw there sailing, surrendering, and supporting. Aquila and Priscilla went ahead and went along with Paul as he left to go into another town there, coming into Ephesus. And I left you with this question last week. We talked about them going and why they went and things like that. And we talked about how he could use some help. There were some other things that he could use as well. He needs some helper. He needs some people like-minded. She could cook as well. Priscilla could cook. They were ready, able servants of God. And we saw Silas was there as well as Timothy. So he's got four people going down there with him. And you're going to see quite quickly why it was necessary to have Aquila and Priscilla on the team with him. Amen. Let's pick it up here in verse number 19. I left you with this thought. Why would he leave Aquila and Priscilla there in Ephesus? Get your Bible maps there. Look on the one that says Missionary Journeys of Paul. Everybody find that? Go in the back. Missionary Journeys of Paul. We're going to try to plot and see where Paul is. Missionary Journeys of Paul. And if you've got them listed by first, second, or third missionary journey or journey to Rome, we're going to be on the second missionary journey. And the second missionary journey should start there at Antioch. Everybody got that? Everybody find that? I'm not sure if you've got colored lines or anything like that. Anybody have trouble finding that? If you do, kind of look on with somebody else. Does everybody have a map with Paul's missionary journeys? Everybody's got one? Anybody not have one? Okay, you got Paul's missionary, it's not on there? No, my soul, amen. All right, well, scoot over next to somebody that's got the missionary journey. Found it, missionary journeys? Everybody got that? Just want to kind of get you up to date where we're at. Okay, if you've got that, and hopefully next week maybe we can have something down there. Everybody's got it now? Okay, so look over somebody's shoulder, look with somebody, okay? So in this second missionary journey, you find that Paul, we started at Antioch down there. From Antioch, we went up to Tarsus, we went down there to Derbe, went to Lystra, went to Antioch and Pisidia, you see that? Then we go over into Troas, everybody follow me? Then from Troas to Neapolis and Philippi, we come down to Berea. Berea, we come on down to Athens. And from Athens to Corinth, that's where Paul just left. From Corinth over to Ephesus is where he's going now. Everybody follow that? Everybody follow that trail? Okay, that's the trail that we have just been preaching on in the last several chapters. Okay, so from Corinth, Paul is going to go over now to Ephesus. From Ephesus, then he's going to come all the way down there to Caesarea. Y'all follow that? From Caesarea, he's going to go up to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, then he's going to go down there into Antioch to report on the church. So everybody follow that? That's the trail that we're following Paul on right now, presently. Right now, he's going to leave Corinth, and he's going to come over to Ephesus. Okay, everybody got that? All right, go back to Acts chapter 18. Just want to kind of give you a visual. How many of y'all hated geography when you're in school? Geography was not my favorite subject at all. It was right up there with history, amen? And I guess they were sort of the same, amen? So I was not a good geography person. I knew northwest, east, and north, south, east, and west, about all I knew about geography. All right, so docking and departing. Notice verse 19 says this, and he came to Ephesus. Now, where did he just leave from? He left from Corinth, okay? And he says this down there, he came to Ephesus and left them there. Who's them? That's Aquila and Priscilla. So Paul and his party, they arrived there at Ephesus, which is another Greek city. The Temple of Diana was there, and that was one of the wonders of the world. But then something interesting happens. He leaves them there. So as he docks there, he departs from them, leaving them there. Notice what it says. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. And I ask this question. Why would Paul bring them from Corinth with him just to leave them in Ephesus? Why would he do that? Doesn't that seem kind of cold-blooded, Jeremiah? Ephesus needs a preacher, amen. Good thinking, amen. Ephesus does need a preacher. Any other ideas as to why he would leave them in Ephesus? Because notice what it says there. It says, he left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. So why would he leave them there and he himself enter into the synagogue? Any ideas? Any thoughts? Yes, sir. Who's that? No, they were actually Jews. If you go back up to verse number 18 or 19, found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, later come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. So they were Jews. They were Jews like him. But any idea, why would he leave them there? I told you about my experiences with Pastor Bennett last time. I mean, he's talking about leaving me over in Belgium. I'm thinking, no, I want to go with you. But he left them there. Give you some thoughts here. One of the reasons could be because the synagogue Jews may be hostile. Remember, go back up there to verse number 12. Remember what happened in verse 12? When Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against who? Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat. So maybe he didn't want them to be endangered as he went into the synagogue. We don't know. Maybe he wanted them to stay and witness to some Jews that had gotten saved that are not in the synagogue, possibly. Possibly they could plant seeds of the gospel there whilst Paul was at the synagogue. Possibly they could be a stumbling block to some of the Jews with their Christian liberty. Because now if I'm a Jew, but I'm a saved Jew, guess what? I don't have to follow the dietary laws that they do. So there's many different reasons why Paul would have left them there, but we're going to find out what the obvious reason is here in just a few minutes. Amen. So docking and departing. He docks at Ephesus there. He departs and leaves them there. But then notice entering and engaging. He's entering into the synagogue there, it says in verse number 19. He himself, notice that the Bible is clear, he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. Now, after leaving Aquila and Priscilla to the Ephesians there, Paul focuses attention on his countrymen. His passion was his people. Paul was a missionary to the Gentiles. We know that. But Paul wanted to see his people saved. And by the way, you should want to see your kinfolk saved. Amen? You should want to see your mama saved, your daddy saved, your grandpa saved, your grandma saved, your aunts, your uncles, your sisters, your brothers, your cousins, your aunt. Whoever your kinfolk are, you should want to see them come to know Christ as Savior. Why? The opposite is the unthinkable. They would perish and go to a place called hell. We don't want that for any of our loved ones. And guess what? Sometimes we're the only ones that have the truth. Paul knew that his countrymen were blinded to the gospel. He knew that. And his heart's desire was that they would be saved. And so he left Aquila and Priscilla there, and his passion was his people, and he went in to see them saved. Hold your finger there, go over to Romans chapter 9, and show you how deep Paul's heart was about this thing. Romans chapter 9. And in Romans chapter 9, notice verse number 3. And Paul said this, as a matter of fact, go back up to verse number 1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have a great heaviness and continued sorrow in my heart. Notice what he says, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ. Do you know what Paul is saying? If it was possible, I don't want to be saved if they would get saved. Now, I'm not that bold. Now, maybe you are. You say, man, I'll give up my salvation for Aunt Betty, or I'd give up my salvation for Uncle Louie. I'm not giving up my salvation for nobody. Now, you might be. Paul's heart was so stirred for his countrymen, for Israel. He said, you know what? I could wish myself accursed if it were possible, if they would just get saved. Glory to God. That's talk about a passionate heart. I'm not that bold. He said, my brother, my kinsmen, according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. Go over to chapter number 10. And in chapter number 10, notice verse number 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be what? Saved. Why? For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Now, some of us know what he's talking about. Why do I say that? Some of us have family members that are zealous about their religion, but they're not saved. They may be Pentecostal. They may be Catholic. They maybe go to every mass in the book. They may put the ashes on their head. They may say all the Hail Marys. They may do all the beads around the rosemary. Rosary. Rosary, Rosemary, amen. They pray to every patron saint that they have. They got them in their yard. They got them in their car. They're zealous, but they're not saved. You know, some of us have some Baptist members of our family that are baptized, and because they're baptized, they think they're saved. Some of us have some Pentecostal friends, and because they spoke in tongues, they think they're saved. Whatever the case, I saw a vision, and I'm saved. I'll never forget my uncle. You know, I was asking him, how did he know he was saved? He went into the barber shop and went down there and got his hair cut and saw a vision, and he knew he was saved. And I just like, what chapter and verse is that in? Well, I knew I was saved ever since then. That didn't tell me nothing except you had a bad dream when you got your hair cut. Amen. That's all it told me. But we have people like this in our families that are zealously going after something. They could be Mormon. They could be Anglican. They could be Presbyterian. They could be, Episcopalian, AME. I mean, there's so many offshoots out there. And we don't even have to go outside of Baptists. There's a bunch of Baptist offshoots as well. And people think they're saved. And so Paul said, you know what? They have the zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about the steps of their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. And folks, we have them. We have them. And so our hearts should bleed for them. I know every time I get around them, I mean, my heart bleeds. I want to just shake them and say, please believe the gospel. But you know what? I can't do that. That's not going to do anything but upset them. You know what I've got to do? Just keep giving them Jesus Christ. Keep living the life that Christ has given me. Keep sharing with them why my life is so good. And so sooner or later, they're going to get hungry for what I have. Sooner or later, amen. Go back over there to that passage of scripture here, Acts chapter 18. So Paul here is going into the synagogue. He's entering into his brethren, hoping to get an audience with them, and he's going to engage with them. He's entering and engaging. Notice what it says there. And he reasoned with the Jews. Reason there means to say thoroughly or to discuss or to dispute or to speak with someone and to reason with them. The Jews here at Ephesus seem to be more open than those in Corinth. Notice what it says here. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not. Remember what just happened to him back in Corinth? Turn back to chapter number 18. Notice verse number 4. Says, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they what? Opposed themselves and what? Blasphemed. He shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I'm clean. From henceforth I go unto the Gentiles. And so they didn't want to have anything to do with Christ at that place. But now we come over here in chapter number 18, and he's at Ephesus. He goes in the synagogue here and reasons with the Jews here, and these guys actually want him to stay a little longer. Imagine that. And what did Paul say in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For what? It is the power of God unto salvation. To who? To the Jew first. And also to the Greek. So when it comes down to it, Paul understood that the Jews were privy to that. And so he would go into every synagogue, and he had left Aquila and Priscilla back over here. He himself enters into the synagogue here. And you and I should be ready always to share the gospel when somebody wants to hear of the gospel message. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And so, amazingly, can you imagine being in a situation where somebody wants to hear the gospel and you gonna leave? Can you imagine being there? I mean, they're hungry. They want to hear the word of God and you gonna leave. That's exactly where Paul is going to be at. Notice this. Paul continues on. Paul's constraint in continuing. Notice verse 20. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not. Now, I think we know the obvious reason why he's not going to stay. But why might someone not stay a little bit longer to give somebody the gospel? Why might someone not stay? Say you're in a situation. Why might not you not stay, Rose? Fear? No, they asked him to stay. But he's not going to stay. It says he consented not. Yes. If God called him somewhere else. I still remember the time when Brother Frank Herndon was going to get saved. I had been working on him, Pastor White, for a long time. Been working on him, working on him, working on him. Got him to the point where he said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I'm going to hell, and I need to pray. I said, good, let's pray. He said, come by tonight. And I'm thinking, I can't come by tonight. I got an appointment with somebody else tonight. I said, well, brother, let's just get saved right now. You know, I'll come by some other time. He said, no, I need you to come by tonight. I said, well, what's so important about tonight? He said, I want my wife to get saved too. And I thought, I already had an appointment. You know what I had to do? I had to give him to somebody else. I said, Pastor Bennett, I said, I got a guy here that wants to get saved. He wants me to come tonight, and I can't come tonight because I got an appointment to talk to somebody else tonight. And so Pastor Bennett got a chance to lead him to Christ. He stole one of my crowns. And led his wife to the Lord. Stole another one of my crowns. What am I saying here? At times, even though we have an open door, the door may not be open for us to walk through. Y'all get that? Even though we have an open door sometimes, the door may not be open for us to walk through. What did Paul say here? Paul said, you know what? He consented not. They desired him to tarry longer time with them. He consented not. These are the very ones that he's pained in his heart to reach, the Jews. The very ones in the synagogue that he's trying to reach, the Jews. The very place that he's been trying to get, but he's been getting kicked out of everyone, the Jews. And they say, can you stay? And he says, no. Sometimes God's ways are past finding out. We can't figure God out. Paul had what he had been waiting for, and that was an open door, open hearts in the synagogue where his people were located, and he's not going to stay. We see Paul's constraint in continuing on, but notice Paul's cause in continuing on. Why is he not going to stay there? Notice verse 21. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. There's the answer why he couldn't. There was something about this feast. Paul needed to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to get Jerusalem bad. Now, one good thing about the feast, that it could have been Pentecost, that they said it could have been the Passover, but they're not sure. What's going to be at the feast in Jerusalem? Jeremiah? A whole bunch more Jews. Paul is always known for having the opportunity to go to big crowds. Now, he don't mind little crowds either, but he'll go to the big crowds. Why? If I can go to the bigger crowd, the more chances I got to win somebody to Christ. But also, what else is in Jerusalem? Some people there didn't like Paul. Remember the council back in chapter number 15? Paul said they don't have to keep the law of Moses. And they had some impressions about Paul. And I think Paul wants to get back there for two reasons. Number one, there's going to be a lot of people he can witness to. But number two, he wants to try to clear up his name, that it's not what people are saying about him. Because they thought that he was throwing away the law. You're trying to throw away the law and get rid of the law. No law, no longer need the law. Paul said, no, Christ fulfilled the law. And so he's trying to get back to this feast. The Bible doesn't really tell us why, it just says that he is. But Paul's cause in continuing on is that he can get back to this feast in Jerusalem. And Paul lets them know that the feast at Jerusalem is a priority. And it's most likely the Passover, Pentecost, and there will be many people there, maybe friends there, maybe relatives there. He could see them. He could preach to them. He's got this opportunity. And that basically what I had to tell Frank. You know, Frank, I already got an appointment, and I can't come tonight, but I got somebody that can. You know, what the beauty of this whole passage here is I had Pastor Bennett to fall back on to lead Frank and his wife to the Lord. Who did Paul leave in Ephesus? Aquila and Priscilla. Isn't God good? What are Aquila and Priscilla? Jews. So the Jews are asking him to stay. He's saying, I can stay, but I know somebody who can. Aquila and Priscilla. They were already surrendered. They were already separated. They were already sailing with him. He said, left, I'm leaving you guys here. I'm going to the synagogue, and I can see Paul now and say, you know what? I got to get back to this feast, but you know what? Let me get Aquila and Priscilla. They'll come over here, and they'll hook you guys up. Say, preacher, how do you know that? Fast forward down to verse number 24. Notice, 24. It says, and a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. Who's in Ephesus? Aquila and Priscilla. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the where?
Synagogue.
Whom, when who? Aquila and Priscilla had what?
Heard.
So obviously they're in the synagogue now. And Paul said, look, you guys, why don't you come over here and stay right here till I get back. I got to run down here to Jerusalem. But y'all can, do some good here. I've worked with y'all before. You're good people. You're a couple. And you can work with the ladies. You can work with the guys. Stay here. They happen to be right there in the synagogue where the Jews are at. So God knew what he was doing all along. Amen. I still believe Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for what? Good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And so he did not consent to them and said, you know what? I've got to go. So we see Paul's constraint in continuing on, Paul's cause in continuing on. He wants to get down to Jerusalem. But then I want you to notice something else here, man. I just had a devotion I read today, as a matter of fact. It was talking about the manna and how God could use any means available to really feed the Jews, but he picked manna. The average person probably wouldn't have picked manna. God uses some surprising ways to meet our needs, doesn't he? Sometimes things that we never would even think about. And it was just talking about how God made it. God met the need here for Paul in Paul's life. And the devotion says something like this. Sometimes God provides for us in surprising ways. God is not bound by our expectations, and we can't predict what he will choose to do. While we wait for God's provisions, focus on who he is rather than what we think he should do. Amen. It will help us find joy and satisfaction in our relationship with him. Notice Paul's concern down in verse 21 towards the end. But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem. Notice this, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. What did Paul say there? He said, you know what? I'm concerned about you folks. And I know you want me to stay here. But you know what? I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got somebody that's going to stay. Aquila, Priscilla, they're going to stay. But you know what? If God will allow me to come back here, I'm going to come back here. I'm going to come back here. By the way, you read in chapter 19, guess where Paul finds himself? Back in Ephesus. By the way, that's something that you and I should say. We should always make room for if God will. Because God may not. Y'all with me? We make plans. We leave God out sometimes. Well, we should say if God will. If it's God's will, or you hear me say a lot of times, by God's grace. By God's grace, I endeavor to do this. Or by God's grace, I endeavor to do that. Or if it be God's will, I won't do this. And by the way, is it God's will for you to do right? So you don't have to say that one. Somebody asks you, are you coming to church? Well, if it's God's will, duh. Not forsaking the assembly. That's God's will. So you don't have to ask that. Should I get saved? He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So I don't have to ask those kind. But if it's going here, if it's going there, if it's doing this or it's doing that, and it's not specifically listed in the will of God, I really should say, if God will, I hope to do that. Are you coming over to my house? Well, God wills. Hey, am I going to see you tomorrow? Well, Lord willing. Because you might not. Steve just came from Virginia. A whole bunch of folk died back there. Some people froze to death. Some people died in car accidents. Amen. If God wills, a good thing to say. Paul, seeing the open door, looked forward to returning to these Jews in the synagogue if God allowed the opportunity and the open door to return. And who wouldn't want to take that opportunity? But one thing that you and I can always say, if God wills. Notice Paul's course in continuing on, those verse 22. And when he landed, he sailed from Ephesus, we just saw on our maps. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Now that's loaded. Notice this. When he landed at Caesarea, Paul was on his course to Jerusalem, of course. However, the Holy Spirit does not give us much when he gets there. Notice what it says. It just says he lands at Caesarea, and notice how it says this, and gone up and saluted the church. You know what church that is? That's the church in Jerusalem. And that's all he says. This is the place that he's dying to get to. This is the place that he says, I can't stay over here for this place. And the only thing that the Spirit of God pins down is he just saluted the church. When you don't say a lot about something, what does that normally tend to say? Maybe not a lot happened. Prejudgment. Why maybe not a lot happened? Or maybe why it was a bad trip? Why is it so silent here? Anybody know? Definitely didn't go the way he wanted to go. Because if it did, what would he be saying? Woo, and folks got saved in Jerusalem. People understood where I was coming from. It's not about the law anymore. It's about grace. They understand the local church. Hallelujah. Praise God's rules, my friend. And I just say, oh, I salute the church. Hi, y'all. He didn't have much going on there. And when somebody's got something great going on, you hear about it. It just says he saluted the church. It means that Paul expressed his love and his regard for the brethren in the Jerusalem church, but not much else is said. Maybe they were still cold toward him based on his stand concerning Gentiles and the law. After this visit to this feast that he longed to be at, Paul departs and goes to Antioch. And all it says there, he landed at Caesarea, he gone up to Jerusalem, basically, and saluted the church, and went down to Antioch. Why is Antioch a notable place? Anybody remember why is Antioch a notable place? Paul? Paul. Serge? That's when they were first called Christians. Go back to Acts 13, and we're going to close with this one. He's come full circle now in his second missionary journey. Acts 13, now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius, and Cyrene, and Manaen, which is had been brought up with the Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted, prayed, and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. So Paul now is come back down to Antioch. He's come home where he was sent out from, and he's going to get him a short little break, a little furlough, if you would. And the significance of Antioch is that's where it all started from. As Paul was ministering there with Barnabas, the Holy Spirit said, separate him and send him out. And guess what? That's exactly what he did. Amen. One thing that I want you to take home from this message today is in verse number 21, where it says, and when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. Develop that into your vocabulary. If you're going to have some plans, say, you know, if God's will for me to do that, if God will, because God's will is not a lot of things that we say it is. Y'all with me? Amen. And so when you're planning, saying, if God will, I hope to do this or that. I'm not going to just make my own plans, but if this is God's will, I'm going to do it. If it's not God's will, I don't want to do it. By the way, if it's not God's will, you definitely don't want to do it. It'll be a fiasco. Amen. And so leave you with that word. If God will, I'll do this or that or the other. We find that God was in it. Paul got blessed all the way. Aquila and Priscilla were there. And Paul does get a chance to come all the way back to Ephesus. Amen. All right. I see children are standing out the door waiting for their parents. Amen. So let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Don't forget, no activities going on this weekend. Amen. But if the Lord does not come and take us home, we're going to be here on Sunday. Amen. Is it God's will for us to be here on Sunday? Amen. So we don't have to say if God's will for me to be here, because we know it's his will to be here. Amen. The question is, are we going to fall in line with God's will? Yes, we are. Amen. All right. Pastor White, if you would, close us in a word of prayer. Amen. Don't forget, pray for Winona in this trial as well, as you have opportunity to think about that throughout this week. But I would not encourage you to go down there because of some things that you may hear. Pastor White.